Welcome to Living the Messiah's Love. I'm your host, Kamisha Lussier. So glad that we're spending this time together in the Word. My beloved is here, and we are going to open up in prayer so we can get into this episode. Lord, we thank you, Father. We love you, and we thank you. And we just acknowledge that you are higher than anything and everyone, Lord Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge that your name rides upon the high places of life, and we are there with you, Lord. And we just thank you, Jesus, that there's nothing that you cannot handle. There's nothing that you have not already prepared us for and given us the strength to not only endure, but to succeed and to excel through those things, Lord. We thank you for peace and for health and for joy. Your joy, Lord, that is our strength and the lives and the hearts and the minds of your listeners, your believers, Lord Jesus Christ, and our brothers and sisters in you. And we thank you for your faithfulness that is making itself evidently clear and known and abounding towards them in goodness and truth in all things, Lord. We thank you for ministering, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you. Do what you want to do here today, Lord. Make sure everything that's on your heart and that you desire to come forth does. We bind the hand of the adversary in the almighty name of Jesus, and we cancel every wicked and demonic assignment against the people of God who are being faithful to the Lord and the ones who are struggling with their faithfulness, Jesus. We bind the hand of the adversary that would try to steal, kill, and destroy and distract them from persevering and entering into that place of perseverance and sanctification, godliness, holiness, and faithfulness to you, Lord. And we thank you that you're always faithful, Lord, even when our flesh is not, and that you are superior. You're able to make your people stand. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus, in your almighty name, and that your purpose will be done. Your kingdom shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we are talking about commanding the weather, part two. In the previous episode, we looked at Matthew chapter 8, verses roughly 23 through 27, and Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, about the wind becoming adversarial to the people of God. And the Lord's response was like, what? Where's your faith? It was one of surprise. It was not a coddling. And it was a reaction that had expectation that they would know who they were and what to do and how to handle that situation. And my love, you brought up something that stood out to you as well. As they were on their way to do the will of the Lord, there rose up the tempestuous weather and waves and things of that nature, because the adversary was behind it and trying to prevent them from getting to the next destination. The highlight that the Lord wants us to understand that this is part of our territory. We should be commanding the weather. We should be occupying there, especially in the area that's uniquely local to us. Amen. And making sure that we have, if you will, locked it down for the name of Jesus Christ and in the way that the Lord would have us do that. So we're going to look at some concepts today and some reasons that weather may be wayward, so we can understand how to deal with it and get the truth of what God's word is concerning it and his purpose concerning us understanding this dominion that we have and actually responsibility that we have as God's warriors here, so we can activate it in our own lives.
Amen.
You got something you want to say, honey?
Oh, no, let's just get to the scripture so we can understand this, right? Okay. And the more important thing, not just understand, you know, head knowledge, as it were, right? But write it on the tablet of our heart.
That's right.
And apply it to your life.
That's right. Activate it in your life. Because what good is it to be a warrior and you never fulfill the role of a warrior?
No one's an actual warrior mentally only, right?
No, and having armor that never gets used, it does you no good either.
Exactly.
All right. So let's look at Leviticus 26. We're going to look at, I think, starting in verse 3.
Yes.
3 and 4. Three. And then we're going to jump down to 18 through 24.
All right. So verse 3 and 4 says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit." Indeed. Oh, so that's verse 5. Let me get down to verse 18. It says, if also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. Your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruit. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you seven times according to your sins. I will let loose among you the beasts of the field, which will bereave you of your children and destroy your cattle and reduce your number so that your roads lie deserted. And if by these things you are not returned to me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you. And I, even I, will strike you seven times for your sins.
Okay. Now, if you read that and you're thinking, aha, there's permission, I've got it to go and beat up on the people and let them know how much they're sinning.
You are mistaken.
You are wrong. Absolutely wrong about that. Don't look at the scripture as a means that you're called to pronounce curses on people or anything, or that God is waiting to punish people. Remember that he sends his warriors as his people, his intercessors, to correct situations and connect the people of God back to the provision of the Lord. Okay. So we just looked at the first part of this that says obedience to the Lord releases the blessing. And there is a direct connection between the weather patterns, rain and whatnot, and the land producing the way it's supposed to. And it can cover a variety of aspects, not just necessarily crops. It also affects cattle and herds, things of that nature, even economies and things mm-hmm. like that. But we're staying specifically to the weather, literal weather itself.
And now we see the scriptures that were there, which when we referenced in the last episode mm-hmm. about Elijah and how he prayed that there would be no rain, right? Clearly the Lord also put that on his heart mm-hmm. to do, right? However, we see where it comes from in what we just read.
Mm-hmm. So obedience to God. The Lord causes it to rain on the just and the unjust, but that mm-hmm. keeps us connected, right? Amen. The unjust is getting the rain, not because God is like, oh, I don't care about your sin. No, it's because his neighbor is the just.
That's so it.
That's why the unjust gets this share in that blessing.
He also is blessed and benefits.
Absolutely. Amen. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to bring all these things together. We're going to Genesis chapter 2, and then we're going to go to Job.
All right. Verse 4 and 5. Uh-huh. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, and the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now God made earth and heaven. No shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground.
Okay, amen. Thank you, sweetheart. What this section tells us here, I know sometimes you might read this and you just kind of roll over it and glaze over it and think, okay, this is just a historical account. But if we've learned anything, we know that the heart of God, especially what he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that no temptation is able to challenge you except that. No temptation has taken you except that which is common to man. So you're not even able to be tested above with what you're able to victoriously conquer it. So you see this principle is matched and aligned here that God didn't even let it rain on the earth. He did not let weather come into being, if you will, in the earth because man was not prepared for it yet. And it would have been a challenge to him that God did not find favorable. So the Lord is even specific in particular that the earth was made for man, not the other way around. Even though we see it in a sequential chronological order, it looked like all these things were created and then God put the man here to be subject to the earth, but that's absolutely not the case. He put the earth here to be subject to the man, even so to the point that it did not even suffer or endure rainfall until that man was duly prepared. And actually, this mist happened all the way up into the flood.
Amen.
So you see how much the Lord wanted it to be under man's feet, to the point that it wasn't even a thing. And yet God was still able to maintain this beautiful garden and take care of it. And there was no need for...
the planting of the Lord, right? If we continue to read that section, you find that the Lord planted the garden.
Amen. Amen. So it just put your mind in perspective, in correct order, the way God feels about us and his expectation, which again, why the Lord was so surprised. He expected they should know their place and who they are and what they have available to them versus feeling like they were an afterthought and left there to be purely subjugated to the conditions around them instead of making the conditions around them subject to them. Mm-hmm. God expects us to walk in that authority. And so let me just read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You've heard it before. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he did not want Adam to come into a tsunami. He did not put them, he did not man want man and woman to come into the earth and have to fight, you know, thickets and all that other kind of stuff.
And it'd be already overgrown.
Exactly. And in
a, well, less than desirable situation. I mean, there was a lot of work, or would have been a lot of work. No, the Lord made everything perfect and prepared perfectly. So man, and took care of it. So man could just step in and continue.
Amen. And so that means, as we read, when the Lord said have dominion, he truly meant that even over the weather. Amen. Like God made it a stepping stool for us, not the other way around. Now let's go look at Job chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. And we're going to look at, I know your minds are probably working going, but I thought it's always been this way. And pardon my directness and my frankness, but my love for you, I don't care. It doesn't matter what you thought. It matters what God says, because if
his ways and his thoughts.
That's right. Because the adversary has gone out of his way to condition humans to let him do what he wants to do. When Christ said, have dominion, have dominion. In the name of Jesus, have dominion. Exercise it. Use it. Put the adversary under your feet and make sure that you make it on earth as it is in heaven, because you are the mouthpiece that God put in your home. He put in that neighborhood. He put in that city. He put in that state. He put in that country to bring it into alignment with the kingdom of heaven. And if we don't take our place, who's going to do it? Christ does not usurp the authority that he delegates. He said, you do it. And he is sitting down waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Get to work.
We have lots to do.
Amen. Amen. All right, my love, will you go ahead and read for us Job chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, please?
It says, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you.
Okay. So it's kind of like watching the news here.
You can feel like that sometimes.
Absolutely. But we have taken great time to look at Job, especially this first chapter, because it gives us behind the scene look about what's actually happening. It articulates it in a way that's more clear and easy to understand than maybe other sections of the Bible because of how it's written. But in this, we know that the adversary wanted to come and touch Job. Mm-hmm. And God said, he's in your hand. Right? When the adversary asked for access and permission to harm Job because Job opened the door for the adversary, God didn't say, yeah, I'll do these things to him. He said he's in your hand, devil, right? But you cannot do these things to him. So as we're looking at this, we see what is happening here in verse 19. Sounds like a tornado.
Sounds kind of like the lake that they were crossing to get to the Gadarenes. Mm-hmm.
A little hurricane, a tornado. You know, don't necessarily know if there's a body of water right next to them, but it sounds like something was out of the way of what it should have been. So disobedience or siding with the adversary, either through fear or intentional activity of, you know, that's demonic in nature, like the sin that we looked at in Leviticus. Mm-hmm. Also the words of people who have dominion and authority in a particular area can be a cause for wayward weather. And then straight up demonic activity as in a stronghold where the adversary is trying to hold territory or he's trying to sweep through for a moment because someone's granted him permission to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you find it interesting that every year the Weather Channel, these people go through great lengths to prophesy to the people around them how much death, doom, and destruction will be coming in from the ocean and the path it's going to take, who's going to be subject to it, and what they should expect to suffer on account of this weather that no one can control?
They've even named it seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Their specific season, whether it's they call it hurricane season, they call it, or parts and areas of the land, which speak primarily concerning the United States, right? They have what they call Tornado Alley. Mm-hmm. Right? Even things as far as volcanoes.
So the adversary has used permission and the mouth of humans who have a level of dominion and authority in the earth to give him permission to sweep through and to attempt to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, that kind of sweeping through is different than what we saw on our springboard scripture from the last time we talked about commanding the weather in Matthew and Luke chapter 8, respectively. That was a demonic stronghold trying to push God back out of it, right? But like the hurricane season or things of that nature, which I repeat that name in the almighty name of Amen. Jesus. I don't experience hurricane season.
Oh,
I
have the peace of God. We don't, actually.
That's right. Or any other kind of wayward weather. But that is the adversary trying to break through and see how many people he can harm, how much destruction he can cause, what kind of things he can destroy, because the people give permission. The false prophets start announcing it and conditioning the people, telling them, oh, look what's going to happen. You just wait for it. You just wait for it. You just wait for it.
And now they've agreed and they're looking for it.
To get them to agree, exactly, and give permission for the adversary to come through and break through the land to do these things. And they are trying to have the people who have dominion acquiesce. Now, those residents who live in Florida and the bad weather is on its way and they determine that they're going to stay in their house no matter what, they're trying to exercise dominion, but from a natural standpoint, mm-hmm. they have not done what was necessary to access the spiritual realm to release and to release the power of God and divert and turn what the adversary was trying to do. But for us, the warriors of God, that's where God, why God put you in the place that he did, because he wants you to stand. He wants you to occupy. He wants you to cancel the wicked assignments by the adversary and cast them out. Anything that is not favorable to your life, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that means the permission or the opportunity to have your vehicle and your home undamaged by hail or strong weather, strong winds, the permission and authority not to have your street flooded or have to flee from your home. That's your right as a son or daughter of God, in particular, a warrior of God. God is expecting you to stand up and use your dominion in a way that's going to cause the just, who are maybe less experienced than you, and the unjust, who are totally unaware, to experience the good and the good of the Lord and the blessing of God and to mm-hmm. be protected from the hand of the adversary. Now, there are times that you can find if you come into an area and it's experiencing drought, it could be because of sin. It could be because of their words. And when the Lord sends you somewhere, there's sometimes the Lord might send you on a circuit, like Samuel used to go on a circuit and go mm-hmm. from city to city and visit and do certain things that God gave him instruction to do there. Am I saying that you're a prophet to the land? I'm not saying that. I'm saying God will send you as his warrior and be satisfied with that to do whatever it is he calls you to do there. And you had
as warriors are sent people.
That's right.
But what do we always say? Even like Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Our pattern example. He said, I wouldn't have even come unless the Father sent me. Well, shouldn't we be following that same thing?
Amen.
In the same vein, heart and mindset towards the Lord, but also he sent us, or whoever it is, to a specific place to say and or do very specific things.
Exactly. And we're not those who clamor for position. I know some of you, sometimes when you hear certain things, you're like, well, I want to be a prophet. I want to be this. I want to do that because it seems special and important. But God is not looking for someone to try to put themselves into a position or like that seems important to the flesh so that they can be respected by carnal and natural people. He's looking for someone who will be sent, whomever they are, just whatever he's asking them to do. A warrior of God can fulfill any office that the Lord determines, but the first and foremost one that they fulfill is the one of occupying the land, the territory, and the space of send me, Lord, and I will be obedient to you. That is what a warrior of God is.
I'm glad that you brought that point up. And it's not about, say, positions or titles.
Titles, right? Exactly.
It's about roles and functions.
Kingdom mandated and set responsibilities, roles and functions.
Exactly. So I say that because even in teams or elite forces, special forces, whatever you want to call them, you will have people that have a very particular role. And then there's cross training. And yes, in the grand scheme of life, everybody can do everybody's role just about, right? There might be some very unique, very specialized skill sets that only one or maybe two people in the whole unit, team, platoon, whatever can do. However, there's cross training. So everybody has a basic idea of how to fulfill everyone else's role. So it's important for us
to be well-rounded,
to be well-rounded,
whatever needs to be done in the moment, in the season, in the time it needs to be
and
done.
And if you look at all the gifts and the callings and the offices and right, each one gives, you know, especially when it talks about Holy Spirit, he gives to each one as he wills. So in other words, let's put this in the proper chain of command, right? Because the Father's saying, this one needs to go do this. And that's getting relayed down the chain of command. And you're being empowered to go fulfill the role that is required in that moment.
Amen. Amen. So the Lord will send his warrior, again, to connect the people or an area or a situation to the plan and the power of God, where the people there may not know what they need or they may not know how to connect to the power of God. So that's why we're being sent. So when he sends us, it's our job to find out what's happening from the master. What's going on in this situation? Here are the things that we're seeing, and we relay it up the chain of command, right? Like a hand is a sensory. It doesn't dictate what happens from the head standpoint, but it does send messages back up to the head so the head knows how to respond. So likewise, we send a message back up to the Father. This is what I'm seeing. And then he'll disclose to us the reasons that the weather is out of alignment or what's happening, whether it's just like demonic action, like we talked about how hurricane, quote unquote, the hurricane trying to come in from the water and getting talked up and brewed up by these false prophets. I'll say the prophets of Baal kind of deal. I'm not talking about calling out anybody in the church or anything like that. I'm talking about people whose mouthpiece is used to sow fear and to try, the adversary is trying to use them to incite permission from those who have dominion to allow the adversary to attack them. So it could just be an adversarial attack. It could be something that the people were saying, or it could be a situation where they've been disobedient, or it could be something like what happened in David's time when he was king in, I think it's 2 Samuel 21, there was a famine in the days of David. And we already saw in Leviticus, there's a connection between lack of weather and famine or lack of produce of the ground. Lack of rain, the things in the appropriate times and season, and then the lack of produce of the ground. In 2 Samuel 21, there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. And it says year after year. So that meant they were baffled by it. And it kept persisting. And they're like, well, you know, 1 year of not having sufficient rain, okay. But 2 years, that doesn't make sense. 3 years, now what's going on? And then somebody finally asked, David finally asked of the Lord. And the Lord said, it's because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. So there was a reason that was not readily available to the natural eye or mind of why they were facing drought, essentially. And David asked the Lord, and so the Lord disclosed this. So for us as his warriors, that's available to us. We are supposed to be doing that in everything that we do, right? We ask the Father, we bring everything before him. We bring it before Christ to hear what he has to say about it. And then we believe the report that he gives us. And then we ask him, what's the right action? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to say? When do you want us to activate this and move in it, Lord? And then we go and obey it. That is spiritual warfare. It's not sounding important when you pray. It's not sounding motivational when you speak. It is having actual a power, power and authority and effectiveness in the spiritual realm and in the things of God to get the spiritual or the natural in line with the spiritual that God is saying, and that coming to pass. That's what being a spiritual, a God's warrior is all about. Honey, did you have something you wanted to share? Okay. So for you as a believer, we've talked about guarding your mouth. You have more power vested in your words than just the bystander, because you know, you have understanding, and the Lord gave you dominion in his name. So if you are calling out for things and you're using expressions and you're not being aware of what you're doing, it can have a great impact on the environment around you. So for David's example, it was because something that Saul did, and it was at this point that it released it into the earth, that famine that they were looking at. But for example, the Lord has sent me to areas because they were experiencing drought. And I mean, you could feel it in the environment as soon as you crossed into the state. And I just asked the Lord, why is this here? What is it about? And the Lord said the people were calling for it. And I said, well, how were they calling for it? In what way? And it may sound funny, but he said, they keep saying and they keep calling out, ooh, it's hot. Oh, it's hot. It's so hot. And you would think that, oh, well, Lord, is that that big of a deal? They're just having a natural reaction to, like when you walk outside and you're like, ah, you know, it's warmer than you expected. And so the natural response is to go, oh, it's hot, right?
Well, again, as you said, natural perspective. Mm-hmm. But we're supposed to take the Lord's perspective.
Exactly.
Well, how does the Lord view or think about what is being said?
Exactly. And so instead of having a natural reaction, we're supposed to have a Holy Spirit reaction. Get in line. This weather is peaceable. It's subject, right? This temperature or whatever God puts in your mouth, this temperature is amicable to me, right? Because God meant it to be subject to us. That's why we looked at Genesis, right? And we saw that early on. It didn't even rain until it was convenient for that man. But God was able to even keep the weather and keep produce coming without what we think in the natural realm. So in this particular case, he had me go and pray some things and decree and release his word there. And by the time he had me leave, he was like, get out of town, be out of here by tonight because it's going to rain. And when I was leaving, it was all but torrential downpour and the drought was over in that situation. But the people, in particular, the people of God, were the ones who were calling out for extreme heat because it kept going, ooh, it's hot, instead of placing that temperature where it was supposed to be. It's not supposed to be over 100. It's supposed to be 89. And it's supposed to be with this amount of humidity in the air, whatever it is that God says for you, but it's supposed to be favorable and comfortable to you in the almighty name of Jesus, but absolutely aligned with the purpose and the will of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And we've seen that in a number of different areas with hurricanes, and we've seen them either kick out way to the east or like out back out to sea and avoid the whole area, or way out to the west and inland. And when we were living on the coast and avoid the entire area.
Absolutely. We would resist incessant rain so we can enjoy our summer, but we were not subject to the weather. The weather is subject to us. And so I'm encouraging you, we are both encouraging you, to find out, get in the Word of God and find out what the Word says. Psalm 91 is a good place to start. Amen. None of it shall come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Right? And you kick that water. Hey, there's places in Africa that would appreciate that rain. We've done that before too.
We sure
have. People called and asked for prayer, said that they needed rain, and we sent the rain from where we were in Virginia to them, and they reported it within a matter of day or two.
That was another key thing when we were we'd gone down there for vacation and we're told it rained for 5 straight weeks. And yeah, we enjoyed a week of it because, but after that, it was like, all right, it's time to enjoy the rest of our vacation.
The Lord sent us for vacation. And so we were going to have that vacation. He said what he meant and he meant what he said. So we agreed with him and we bound that rain up.
And that was it.
The almighty name of Jesus. And we enjoyed the rest of that vacation time. It was beautiful weather.
And this isn't particular to us. You too have been given
the
authority of the Lord, his power and dominion here on the earth.
Amen. And as you practice in this, it'll become second nature to you to go, oh, no, you don't. Uh-uh. In the almighty name of Jesus. No, you're not. And when you listen or you hear a weather report or something of that nature, don't be afraid. You speak the word over that. Take a moment, hear what the Lord has for you, has to say about it, what he wants you to speak about it particularly. And then you release that word of God. The same we talked about with healing, the same we talked about casting out devils, all of that. It's the same process over and over, but we have to, first of all, be aware of it.
Amen.
Right? We have to know what our territory is, our left and right lateral limits, if you were. That's what you guys call it.
That's it. Yeah.
In the military.
Where does your authority begin?
That's right.
And where does it end?
That's right. And we've been given so much in the name of Jesus Christ. But we have to, again, find out what it is. And then we have to understand God's will and his word and to put it into practice without delay and without being inconsistent. We need to be consistent about it so that it becomes second nature. So the clouds don't look right. You speak to them. And you tell them to get in line. Somebody says, oh, it's going to do this. Nuh-uh, not over here. It's not. No, it won't in the name of Jesus.
Not unless the Lord wants it to.
But even that, he would give you understanding when you ask him. And he'll tell you, like, no, this is from me. Or
say or do something about this.
Exactly. Exactly. So God is gracious. All right. That's all we have for you with this episode today. Thank you so much for being here with us and taking the time to get into the word. Apply his word in your life. I just can't encourage you enough to do that. But also, we love you. We're praying for you. And remember to live your life in the Messiah's love. God bless you.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says subscribe.